You're going to do four things. One, two, three, four. Number one, I want you to think of what's the biggest thing you're grateful for in your life if you could only pick one thing. What's the biggest thing that would be at number one that you are grateful for and anything else? Number one, same thing, number two, and then same thing, number three. So now you have numbers one, two, three that you're grateful for, the most important things you're the most grateful in your life. And then number four, and then I give them about 20 or 30 seconds on this. What was the highlight of your day yesterday? What was the best thing that happened to you yesterday? And I think many times for me, as an example, it's talking to one of my sons.
You're listening to the Real Business Connections Network.
Real Business Connections Network.
Powered by Balbert Marketing, LLC. Subscribe now and check us out at realbusinessconnections.com. Enjoy the show.
Welcome everyone to Learn, Speak, Teach, powered by Balbert Marketing, LLC. If you love to learn, be inspired, and succeed, we're here to speak and teach. I'm your host, Ben Albert. I believe if you're not living, you're dying. If you're not growing, you're withering. And if you're not engaged, you can turn this off right now. Because we here at LST are lifelong learners. And listen, I'm not your guru. I'm an ordinary guy on a journey to learn from the experts. My goal is to host each conversation with a beginner's mindset, learn, and let the experts speak and teach their truths. Join us! Oh yeah, and don't forget to subscribe. This episode is brought to you completely free. Get some stake in the game here. My fee for the show only takes a few moments. If you gain value from the episode, personally share with a friend and explain your favorite part. Bonus points. Please leave us a review on Apple, Google Podcasts, or anywhere you listen to the show. All right, let's get started. Welcome, everyone, once again to Learn, Speak, Teach on the Real Business Connections Network. I am here today with David George Brook. David, what's up? How are you?
What's happening, Mr. Albert? Nice to see you. It's great to be here.
It's great to be here. Guys, if you don't know who David is, he is known as That Gratitude Guy. He has been a speaker, coach, and best-selling author on several books on gratitude, working for over 25 years, presented over 750 speeches and workshops in the past 8 years, including over 100 on Zoom presentations in the last 18 months, traveling nationally and internationally to deliver this important message. Another side note, 1,700 gratitude videos on YouTube. That'll be in the show notes for you guys. And is considered a leading authority on how living a life of gratitude can enhance and improve your life, both professionally and personally. Once again, David, I'm grateful to have you here today, and this is going to be a fun one.
Well, thank you. I'm just really grateful myself as well. And I was thinking as you were reading that, how I love it when I find people that are really passionate about things. And I'm very passionate about gratitude as a mindset and as a coping mechanism. And you mentioned the 100 videos it said in the bio during during the pandemic when all those came up. And just doing all of those, I didn't get to see people in person, but Zoom really kind of saved my career, but it kept it going. But it just reminded me how many people needed a healthy coping mechanism, because we got a lot of deadly and destructive ones out there. And I talk about a gratitude mindset. So it's neat when you're passionate about your subject and you want to get it to as many people as you can.
Yeah, it helped you reach so many people. And that YouTube channel with 1,700 views, where someone can have you and the knowledge at their fingertips at any time. So You're accomplishing big things. You're keynoting for big companies. We'll get into that. But ultimately, you didn't roll out of bed as that gratitude guy with keynotes and 1,500 plus videos and over 100 Zooms and really making use of the pandemic. I presume you didn't just roll out of bed with these gifts. Let's slow down to speed up. Tell me a little bit about the story behind the story, where you got your start, and really just why you're so passionate about what you get to do today.
Absolutely. And I think it's It's a little bit of a different story in that when I actually started in this, it was very late in life. And so, but I back up and I tell people when I was growing up in Seattle, Washington, and I went to high school and I went to the University of Washington. In my freshman year, this teacher asked me to come and do a talk to his students at his high school. It's another high school. So I went there. I was 19 and I went and I did the talk. I don't remember what I talked about, but he said, just tell them how to be successful or something like that. So I did a half hour talk and then I went in my car and I thought to myself, that's what I want to do someday. I want to be a motivational speaker. And that was in 1969. So it was literally 43 years later that I got the guts or whatever you want to call it to follow my dream. And I never knew what I wanted to speak about. I just knew I wanted to be a motivational speaker. So as I finally got the guts up to do it, at that point, I was managing a Lowe's home improvement store. And I love to tell the story how my son, my wife had died when my boys were 4 and 14. So it was really challenging. And my parents had died when I was in my teens and 20s. So it's a lot of loss that I thought I got to figure out something that's going to help me. But I really didn't know gratitude at that point. I just knew that I was going to be a motivational speaker. So I was managing a Lowe's and I decided it was time to follow this dream. And now I'm 62 years old at the time. This is 10 years ago. And so I come home and Connor, who was 4 when Dana died, she was 38 and unfortunately died of a prescription pill overdose. He was 4. He was now 17. And so I quit Lowe's and I come walking in the door and it's like 2 in the afternoon. He goes, what are you doing home? And I said, well, I quit. And he said, what do you mean you quit? And I said, well, I quit Lowe's. He says, you quit being a store manager at Lowe's? And I went, yeah. And he goes, well, what are you going to do now? And I said, well, I'm going to become a speaker. And he looks up from the couch and he goes, well, that's just super dad. And it wasn't quite the response I was looking for. And I was a little taken aback. And he says, I have a question for you. What are we going to do for food? And I said, don't worry about it. It'll be okay. But that really started the journey. And as I say, Ben, that was at 62. And I've spoken to many groups about people that think their lives are over in their 30s or their 40s, or God forbid they turn 50. But I remember thinking, I'm going to be really upset with myself if I didn't pursue that dream. And one of the things I noticed, there's the 5 regrets of the dying. And they interview all these people that are over 90, 95 about if they looked back on their life. And it's very instructive. And they say that one of the 5 was, I wish I'd kept in better touch with friends. Another one was, I wish I hadn't worked so hard. But one of my favorite ones is, I wish I'd lived a life true to myself and not the life that others thought for me. And I'm thinking of the parents that you're going to be a doctor, you're going to be an attorney or something. And so you follow it. So it was really, really neat. And I thought, I just don't want to have an example. My son, Connor, is now 28. My older son, Kyle, is 38. I don't want to be the kind of parent that doesn't set a good example, because I think that's the best quality you can have in being a good parent, to set a really good example. So I started the journey. And it was just, as you said, just not rolling out of bed. I just got really intentional about it. And I thought, well, what am I going to talk about? And earlier, I had found that gratitude and a gratitude journal had made a huge difference in overcoming a lot of adversity. And so I thought, wait a second, maybe I should talk about gratitude. That's a good idea. Then at some point, somebody said, oh, you're that gratitude guy. And that kind of stuck. But like so many journeys, which is always so interesting when you hear you were mentioning different podcasts, and I think of one by Guy Raz called How I Built This. Anybody who starts something in small and builds it, you go way back to the beginning when it was just very, very basic steps forward. And for me, I did tons of talks at Rotaries, Chambers, Kiwanis, Lions, churches. I did some at prisons, schools, just different things, anywhere where I could get somebody that would listen to my message. And I think back then I called it Happiness Starts with Gratitude. And it was just really the whole context of it is how you can take gratitude and apply it to your life personally and professionally and have it be this great coping mechanism that can help you through the toughest of times. So it's been an incredible journey about this last 9 or 10 years.
Love it. I'm curious about the difference between, you know, a keynote gratitude talk for executives in the C-suite versus prisoners that are behind bars for 5, 10, 20 years.
Yeah.
Is it the same talk or how?
That's a great question. There's elements that are the same. I have some centerpieces that I include in every talk I do. As an example, I use this quote. One of the quotes is, "Gratitude turns what you have into enough." And I think we live in a world, regardless of who we are, we're always comparing ourselves to somebody else, which is not a good thing to do. And as somebody once told me, and I love this, only compare yourself to who you were yesterday, to try to be a better version of who you were yesterday, but nobody else. And it's like a cat chasing its tail. And if you compare yourself, somebody else always has a better house, better car, better wife, better husband, something like that. And it's just not worth it. So there's the core message that's there. But I do a lot of interactive exercises so people can really take away a message. So whether it's C-suite or the prisoners, one of the examples I have is a little card where people write down how they see the other person. Call it the "you are" card, and how I see Benjamin Albert and how Benjamin sees David Brooke. And then when you're done and you read it, it's amazing how somebody sees you in such a better light than you see yourself. And I'm never going to quite understand that, why we're so hard on ourselves. But when somebody reads and says, "Here's how I see you," great energy, great smile, great, you know, great interviewer, great questions, you know, really, really talking about who you are. Everybody always says, "Well, I'm going to hold on to that card." And so, because they have these little 3x5 cards I use. And the point is that you want to have stuff that can carry you tomorrow and next week and next month, not just during that 1 hour keynote. So there are things that are, again, the core of the message from, say, the prisoners to C-suite. But the thing that I think is interesting, which is how it evolved for me, I hadn't planned on it, but in any, it's just the way it worked, in any 60 minute, like this one down at this Southern Glazer's Wine and Spirits, I was just down there last week, there's probably in a 60 minute keynote, probably 8 to 10 exercises. So, I mean, it's very interactive. And I tell them it's experiential, it's interactive, it's humorous. I tell a lot of things that they're not jokes, they're things that just people laugh at that are funny, but to make a point. But it's neat to have 4 or 5 items to take with you, a card, a note, something you put on your phone. I have people grab their notepad on their phone sometimes that they can take with them and access tomorrow and next week. And I'm sure, Ben, you've done the same thing I done. If you've seen a lot of speakers, listened to a lot of podcasts, whatever it might be, there's some that are phenomenal. But then ask yourself the next day, what do you remember? And sometimes you can't remember anything. So to me, it's that retention is really important, to use those tools to have gratitude kind of help you with your life.
The retention. You mentioned earlier, you know, you wanted to be a motivational speaker. Mm-hmm. I, from what I've learned so far, see you more as a transformational speaker, where it's not just there to motivate, rah, rah. What you're doing is you're helping people transform their lives, even if it's just one practice at a time. So I want to talk about some of these activities in a second here. One thing you reminded me of, slight tangent, Dan Harris, incredible leader, wrote the book 10% Happier, and it's all about meditation and meditation exercises being bicep curls for the mind, allowing you to become 10% happier. But what was funnier is before he wrote that book, the title that he wanted to call it is "The Voice in My Head is an Asshole."
Oh, how funny.
And he went with 10% happier, but I love "The Voice in My Head is an Asshole," because we're our own worst critics. But it seems like if we can enact some of these exercises, similar to bicep curls or the mind or being 10% happier, over time we can develop this gratitude, this resilience, very much like a muscle.
Right.
So
absolutely. Absolutely.
Give us some, I can't hear the whole keynote. I'm going to have to come to your next presentation. But what are 1, 2, 3, 5, 10? You tell me, what are some of these exercises that I can maybe start doing today?
I'll go back to the one I started with, because this is in the first 5 minutes of when I have my talk. And I even do it when I do it virtually. I have them, you know, take out a piece of paper and have a pad or have a pen or have some cards available, because they're not in a group. Because when they're in a group, I have people pair up. And so I go, okay, so you need a partner for this group. So I go, "What's your name?" "Ben." "I'm David." If I'm sitting next to you, we shake hands. And then you write down the person's name. You put down, you write, "You are," because this is what you're going to say, Y-O-U-A-R-E, "You are," because then you're going to write how you see me, "You are happy, you are talented, whatever. And then you put your partner's name in the other corner, and then you sign your name at the bottom. And so then you take 60 seconds to write down how the thing, say, even seeing you, you got a great energy. You're great. You have a great smile. I can tell you're very bright. You can tell things immediately when you just shake hands by that first kind of concept of how the vibration feels, just the energy. And it can come right through a computer, in my opinion, too. So then you write all those things down. So then after 60 seconds, I have them take 30 seconds each and read to the other person what they said about him. So when I do it, I come off the stage once in a while, because every so often somebody doesn't have a partner. And I always crack up. I go, you're going to need a partner. And they go, we have three of us. I go, no, we're not doing three people. This is a one-to-one exercise. So I'll come down and be your partner. So then I'll come down and introduce myself to the person, and then I'll do the exercise. So then after they read it, then they say, now exchange the cards. And so you have the card that was written about you, and you just heard 30 seconds of how somebody saw you in the great light that they see you in. But now read the words and see them on the paper, because one is hearing, the other one is visual, and you're actually seeing those words written on the piece of paper. And I said, and then, and this is what's always so fun to me, as I said, now hold on to that card. They all read it. And I say, now by show of hands, how many people in this audience might hold on to that card? Every single person raises their hand. The entire audience goes up and they go, now let me explain. That's a 60-second exercise of what a gratitude attitude will do for you. Because what a gratitude attitude, an attitude of gratitude, a gratitude mindset is doing for you is helping you focus on all your blessings and abundance. It's focusing on all the good things in your life. And you just had a total stranger tell you how great they thought you were. Now you can keep that card. And when I hand out the cards, I say, put it on your refrigerator, put it on your bulletin board, on your mirror, your computer, wherever. Keep it handy. And if you're having a day you don't feel quite right, look what that person said about you, and it'll bring you up a couple of notches in your daily number. So that's that's one as an example. Another one I really like.
Can I ask a real quick question on that?
Of course.
So when we're live at a presentation with a group and the boss wants us there and you're there, you know, inspiring us to do this, it's more of a safe space or even a requirement to do it. What if I'm at home and how do I reach out to someone and say, hey, do this exercise with me? Well, what's your opinion on someone actually, I need to go recruit someone to do this with me. What would you recommend that?
You can recruit somebody to do it. But then what I do, Ben, because I had to come up with something for Zoom, because most 90% of people at Zoom, if not higher, by themselves. So what I tell the people, and then sometimes it's hybrid, so they're in person and then the Zoom cameras are on the people that are coming into the talk on Zoom. So I tell that person, so if that's Ben Albert by himself, I say, now for the next 60 seconds, I want you to be your biggest cheerleader. Hmm. I want you to be your mom, your dad, your husband, your wife, your best friend, your mentor, whoever thinks Ben Albert is the coolest guy on this planet. I want you to be them for 60 seconds. And then they write it down and you get basically the same thing because you put it in a thing. And I remember somebody wants questions and I get questions and hands up and say, why don't you have somebody list their shortcomings? I said, what kind of presentation do you think this is? Listing their shortcomings, who would do that? And so it's all about gratitude. And so, but that's how that works. And it just happened to work out really well. And then I'd have people sometimes hold up their cards on Zoom and show me the things that they had, you know, from their card that they wrote. And then I'll tell them I've got like a pad of paper and I always say, you're going to need a pad of paper. You need a pen. You're going to need your cell phone. So we do a couple of texting exercises. And so I say to them, have some sort of card stock. I use 3x5 cards. They say the gratitude guy on them and things. And I pass them out to all the seats. But I said, have something you can put it on that's substantial because you're going to want to hold on to it. And you don't want it to be a flimsy piece of paper and things. So that one has been very effective. Another one, and you'll see that these are all about focusing on your blessings and abundance. I use that term a lot. And one of the things I talk about in another module is make your strengths productive, make your weaknesses irrelevant. And it's so important. There's this module that I'll get to in a second. If we have time, find yourself, find your talent, find your passion, find your purpose. And each one of those kind of lead to the next one. Well, the yourself is how you see yourself. So if you see yourself in that great light, as your biggest cheerleader did, or the person that was a stranger. I mean, Ben, it's amazing. These are people that are total strangers. And I've had, they've said to me when I've done the card, you are so intense. You're well-dressed. You're articulate. You're well-spoken. I can't believe how knowledgeable. damn, I've only spoken for 4 or 5 minutes, you know, when we do it. So yeah. It's neat how much you can get this way. So, and each one of these exercises or interactive exercises, if you will, are designed to be, Ben might like one better than Joe does, than Bill does, than David does. So there's enough of them that you can kind of choose which ones work best for you. And so another example is called, so I give them back to their pad of paper again. And I say, now this one's going to involve homework. He said, you got to promise me. I want everybody to raise their hand ahead of time. You'll do this a week from today. Right? And everybody raises their hand. I said, a week from next Thursday, a week from today is Thursday. Next Thursday, I want you to promise me you'll do it. So they all raise their hand. I go, so 60 seconds, write in your piece of paper as fast as you can the most memorable events of your life. That's all it is. And well, is it work? I said, I don't care. Whatever is the most memorable event of your life, write as many of those as you can in 60 seconds. So I give them 60 seconds to get them started. So now that they're done, I say, okay, now here's the assignment. What I want you to do over the course of the next week is I want you to go back to that list and I want you to expand it to one of two or three things, top 10, top 25, top 50, top 100. It just depends on where you are and how many you have. Mm-hmm. And then I want you to put it on a Word doc or an Excel spreadsheet and put in order of importance. What's the number one thing is number one and so on and so forth. And what'll happen, and I have mine's at top 100, the top 100 most memorable events of my life is right there on my bulletin board. And it's 3 pages on a Word doc. And you have a bad day, you will look at all the things you've done. And it totally started for me out of, I have a big map of where I've spoken and I have little arrows all across the country. And then I have a world map. And my younger son said to me, well, you've never been to Greece. And then I've never been to Greece. I've never been to France. I've never been here. And I started thinking, and I thought, wait a second, you're approaching this the wrong way, my friend. Let's talk about what you've done. And I go back and I learned how to fly when I was in my 20s. I bought my own airplane. I had an airplane for 10 years. I'm a national champion hydroplane driver. I've skydived, scuba dived, bungee jumped, hot air balloon, you know, and so forth. And I did all and I went, whoa, not to mention numbers 1 and 2 on my list are my two sons. The most memorable events of my life is Connor and Kyle. And then speaking to 10,000 soldiers and seeing the Beatles twice when I was 16 in Seattle. I mean, whatever it was. And it's so, and it just reinforces how many cool things you've done. And then you don't think about, oh, the Joneses, they have a better boat, they have a better this or whatever. So it's just another example of an exercise designed to help you see what you have and focus on that. And again, your blessings in abundance and not your lack. And it makes such a difference. And then I'll give you another quick one. And like, wow. I said, there's 7 or 8, but one that really relates, because here's the best seller I have is this daily gratitude journal called That Gratitude Guy's Daily Gratitude Journal. And you write in it every single day. And it's, of course, today I've already written in it. So here's on Friday, but it's got a template. So it kind of, I know we're going to be mostly on radio, but it's got a template of how you write and what your grade says, the day and the date and kind of your current events and then what's going on in your life. And I put on there, I'm on a podcast today, and then what you're grateful for, then the highlight of your day, and then a little quote. And then this is your gratitude intentions on the right side, which is where you're going to be grateful for something that hasn't even happened yet. And why this is so important is that it says right in the front, if you think about it, it's like a dream. If you talk about it, it inspires you. But if you write about it, it empowers you. And so if I write, like tomorrow, you will be one of my highlights of my day. I am so grateful.
You just made my day twice. I made it to the list and I made it to the highlight list.
And the highlight too. I know, that's twice. And for having me on his podcast and so forth. And it's just really, but it plants it in your brain. Yeah. And one of the things that I always debate whether I should tell people how old I am or not, because people get really freaked out. But I'm 72. And, you know, I have more energy than a lot of people half my age. But I also am realizing you have to exercise this as much as you have to exercise this. This body walks 8 miles every single day, 7 days a week, listening to podcasts. We talked about that, listening to Audible, things like that. But this brain is working constantly on new talks and outreach and how do people getting back to me? What would you charge me for this? Can you speak to this group? And so it's exercising the brain and the body, because one without the other doesn't work very well. So it's really neat. But this exercise, when again, not everybody has this journal, I can hand them through the Zoom radio or the podcast.
They're in the description or the show notes that will be there. So I have the opportunity to get themselves.
Thank you.
And tell me if you disagree. I recommend it be your journal, but as long as it's a gratitude journal.
Absolutely.
It doesn't have to be yours. It doesn't have to be a specific one, but it needs to be something, correct?
Yep. I tell people that all the time. There's a link to the journal. You can get it on Amazon, of course. And then I bring a lot of them, like to the winery place. I brought like 300 journals because they passed out one to every person that was there for my talk. But I tell people, if you get a spiral notebook, I don't care. Excuse me. That's fine. I mean, just get it and do it and make sure you're consistent. It's so important. And one of the things that people will say a lot of times as a takeaway is they'll say, what's one thing if people remember nothing else but this? And I say, write in a gratitude journal every day. And I say, if you can't write, it takes me 5 minutes. That's all it takes is 5 minutes. If you can't afford the 5 minutes, then write a sentence or two. If you can't do that, then just write a couple of words. And I've always told people it's better to do less than you hope for than nothing at all. And develop some momentum and go through that. So here that brings us up to speed with the gratitude exercise when we don't have a journal. And that is where I tell people, okay, now here's what I want you to do. Up in the right-hand corner of the left page says daily number. I have a 9 right here. And so what you do is you take out a piece of paper. So this is very similar. They're on their pad of paper, a pad. And I say to them, so now I want you to assign yourself a daily number. What is a daily number? It's from 1 to 10. 10 is the best day of your life and 1 is a not so good day. And I want you to kind of take your temperature and see where you are. And it could be halves. You could be having 8.5, 7.5, have a pretty good day. Or you could be having a 4 or 5 day. It's not too good. And you're not going to tell anybody. We're not sharing this. This is just for you. So write that number down, put a circle around it. So then underneath that, I have them do now. You're going to do 4 things. 1, 2, 3, 4. Number one, I want you to think of what's the biggest thing you're grateful for in your life if you could only pick one thing. What's the biggest thing that would be at number one that you are grateful for in anything else? Number one, same thing, number two, and then same thing, number three. So now you have numbers 1, 2, 3 that you're grateful for, the most important things you're the most grateful in your life. And then number 4, and then I give them about 20 or 30 seconds on this. What was the highlight of your day yesterday? What was the best thing that happened to you yesterday? And I think many times for me, as an example, it's talking to one of my sons. One lives close to me in Seattle, another one lives in San Diego, and I'm in Seattle, as I mentioned. And so there's other things, or having a great conversation, or being on the podcast, as I mentioned, and so forth. So I have them write that down and say, now, this is no partners on this exercise. Now, here's what I want you to do. Whatever number you wrote, you put it there. I want you to silently reread number 1, number 2, number 3, and the highlight of your day. Let them really plan in your brain. And then I want you to, after you read those 4 things, I want you to write another daily number. Could be the same, it could have changed. But whatever that is, write another number and put a circle around it. So I let them do that. And then by show of hands, how many people's number from the top number to the bottom number went up? Typically, over half the audience raises their hand.
Wow.
So I tell them once again, so then here's the catch to all the audience members. If that 3 or 4 minute exercise can do that, what do you think 5 or 6 minutes in a gratitude journal can do for you every day when you have a chance to expand on it a little bit more and see the quote and see that highlight? And there's a little place for the current event, so you don't have to have a diary. You can put it all in there together. And so how's that going to impact you? And that whole thing about writing it is they've got surveys that, you and I are probably both on laptops and the typing and all that stuff's fine, but there's nothing quite like this after all these years with the pen and the paper. I am grateful to Ben Albert. There's just something about it that puts it in here so much better. So those are just some examples. And I've got another 5 or 6 that are, they're all designed to show you how, if you focus on gratitude, you'll have such a better attitude.
Love all these examples. This is going to be a 2, 3, 4 time listen, guys, because we need to listen, do each of these exercises. Obviously, head online and learn from you there as well. I love the pen to paper. I will admit nowadays I have a tablet, but I live on my laptop. But one thing that's non-negotiable is I write out my journal. There's something special about writing it out.
Absolutely correct. Absolutely correct. And it's true. And it really is part of, we mentioned that earlier, retention. And one of the things, the exercises help with the retention, but also the writing. And there's something, and you can go back and you can look at it even on, everybody has their own way. This is my list every day, everything I got to do today. There's right at the top is Benjamin Albert podcast, you know, and so forth. And whatever works, but there's something about seeing it. And then it's the same thing with all these phones and the laptops. I still have a paper planner that I look my whole week and I can see it. And I highlight my talks in orange. I highlight my coaching clients in green. I highlight other things I'm doing in blue. And so it's the old thing about, I don't care what your system is, just get one, but just how you organize it. Sometimes there's just nothing like a pad of paper and a pen.
How long have you personally been doing this journaling for? How long has it been since you started?
I've got to look behind me, I think, because the gratitude journal that I sell, this one, is about 4 months, 3 to 4 months worth of time. Mm-hmm. And so that's 3 or 4 a year. And if I look behind me, I bet you I've got 40 or 50 on there that started. So it's been about 15 years, something like that. And there's an extra, that's a good question, Ben, because there's an extra bonus that I just never really thought about, because you're just downloading or uploading this, all these things you're grateful for and on the paper. And then that writing, as we just talked about, but sometimes I'll think about a certain date in the past that was either good news or bad news. And I'll go back and look and see what I wrote on that day. And it's really cool. And this is really challenging, but I am grateful that I'm so healthy. And even though this is a tough time I'm going through, and it's just neat to see what you put. And then sometimes I'll put where Connor and I are going to the Seahawks game, or I'll make some, you know, other little comment in there that's kind of neat. So there's just a lot of benefits to it. And that's why I really push the 5 minutes, you know, that it's not a half hour. It's not a huge thing, but that whole idea about doing less than you hope for, even if you write a sentence, that's better than nothing.
And you become the person you're aspiring to be. I know personally, I have a lot I do in the morning, and this is about you. It's not about me, so I won't go through the whole morning routine. But part of the routine is keeping a journal, visualization exercises of where I'm trying to go, and then affirmations of who I am. When I first started doing these exercises, along with, you know, exercise and a few different things, drinking water, vitamins, a lot of stuff I do. When I first started, I didn't believe myself.
Mm.
I thought I was being fake. I thought I was being phony. And when I would say an affirmation of who I am, I didn't even believe myself.
Wow.
And it wasn't till years down the road that I started to realize that I became everything that I, at one point I was pretending. And I probably was that person at that time anyways, but I felt like I was pretending. Yeah. But it was through daily repetition over years of time that my physiology and my psychology actually changed.
Yeah.
And that's what happened to me. I'm wondering, and it doesn't have to be the exact same story, but after going through 40 plus books of 3 to 4 months, you know, 10 plus years, however long it's been, what changes have you seen? And then the part two of the question is, have you seen changes in other people alive outside of your own? I'm kind of curious of your perspective, and then maybe a case story of another person's perspective as well.
Yeah, thank you. The thing I noticed that most for me is that I used to bring this up earlier, but I had these parents that my mom was bipolar, it was called manic depressive back then. So she had a lot of issues with high and low. And then she eventually died of cancer, and she used to threaten suicide all the time. And it was tough on me because I was kind of the main child, as my older brother, but she kind of leaned on me. And then my parents had gotten divorced, and my father took his own life. And so there were just a lot of things where I thought I got some of that manic depressive stuff from my mom. And so I would, especially the depression thing. And so the biggest thing I would say, again, for personally, is the fact that it's a double negative. I can't not be happy when I'm writing in that gratitude journal. Mm-hmm. And so because it reminds me every day. And some people say, well, do you write the same things? I said, well, let me ask you this. Is it boring to think about how healthy you are when there's so many people that aren't healthy? And I think about how the fact that I can get up here, and I live by Lake Washington, by the Seahawks headquarters, that I can go out and walk down 4 miles on this path all the way down to where Renton stores a bunch of Boeing airplanes, back 8 miles every day. It's about two hours, 15 minutes, something like that. And everything works. And I think how grateful I am for that. So it's really helped. But as I said earlier, if this thing isn't good and the body's good, that doesn't work either. So you want to have them both. Mm-hmm. So for my mind, and this is a little on the personal side, but since I've done this, I mean, I can count on one hand the really severe times I've been depressed or something's really happened because it's been such a friend. And I think the biggest thing that when I think of case stories is the amount of people that tell me they go to the talk and I get so emotional about this because they say, you just changed my life. And you mentioned a transformational speaker, which I really appreciate thinking about that because that's maybe even better than, not maybe, but it is better than a motivational speaker because people say, you transformed my life, you saved my life, you helped my life, and so on. And so then they'll get back to me and they'll say, ever since I started writing in the gratitude journal, I've been able to focus on all these blessings that I have. And it's so very important. And I see the glass half full and so on. And it's funny, this, again, we're on radio, but I have a thing I do in person where I have everybody stand up and take their hand and do it in a circle motion. And anybody sees it on video, they can see it. Mm-hmm. But it's like this, do it clockwise. And then you bring it down and then you bring it down to your chest. And now what direction is it going? Now it's going counterclockwise. And they all go, what? What just happened? And I see people in the audience, they're going like this, and it's just funny. And I said, it's simply looking at it from above and below. I mean, one looks, it never changes direction, but that's my way of saying the glass is half full, is that, you know, you decide which way you see that. And I also tell people part of the same thing I get the feedback is when we wake up in the morning, you decide, you choose, get out of bed on the left side or the right side, positive or negative, happy or sad, good or bad, grateful or ungrateful. You know, you can decide, and nobody gets into Ben's brain or David's brains and rewires it and tells us how we need to think. And it's up to us. And I have another thing I do in this module where I talk about how fast can you change behavior? And if somebody says, well, you know, I've always kind of been negative, I said, you know, it's just like, that's kind of in my DNA. I'd like to be more positive. I'd like to change or write in the gratitude journal every day. And I said, you can snap your fingers and start today. You know, there's none of that. You don't have to wait 30 days or 28 days or all those things. You can start right now and just have a new behavior. And so, but that's why, and I'm glad you said that too, about for your journal as well. It's just that writing it down, it really, really, I tell people that really plants it. And you know where that's a harder message to get across to is the millennials these days, because they resist that, because everything is, you know, talking, I'm grateful for this, you know, on this. And people would say, do you have an app? And I had an app for a while and I let it go, but you'd say, I'm grateful for Ben Albert, you know, and it would type it in there and things like that, but it's not the same. It's not the same. So I just feel so fortunate that I've gotten so much feedback from people that got journals for their kids that were having some issues. And then they let me know it's changed their life and made them so much more ability to focus on what they had. So yeah, a lot of really good reinforcement of how well it's worked. It's really neat.
It is neat. I love it, man. It's you said it a second ago. You can't be angry while you're writing in your gratitude journal, like you're going to be feeling happy. So even if we're in a dark place, even if we feel like we're struggling, for that 5 minutes, that can be 5 minutes of grace.
Yeah.
And obviously we want more than 5 minutes of grace, but once you start to see and start to, do you find that you see things differently than you used to?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I was thinking, I mentioned this earlier about the sort of the four steps on one of the modules I walk people through, find yourself. I just think you get to control, as I said, what side of the bed you get out on and so forth. And so nobody has control. Nobody can rewire David or Ben's brain. And so that starts with you. And that really, I contend, is the most important relationship you'll ever have. And for people that are spiritual, that's fine. That can be number one. This can be number two, but that's the most important thing. And then next is, really make your talents what's something that you're good at. Don't fight City Hall, so to speak. And if you're, you know, 5'1" and 125 pounds, you're probably not going to be an NFL quarterback, but maybe you can be a jockey. So figure out what that is. And I know I can speak to 10,000 soldiers at Joint Base Lewis-McChord couple years ago, but I can't draw a circle to save my life. So I'm not going to go take an art class. It just doesn't make sense, you know? And so really, as you kind of figure out who that person is, and then next, if I say, well, then what are you really passionate about? And, well, I don't know. You're very passionate about gratitude. Well, no, wait a second now. What would you do if every morning you got up and there was $1 million in your checking account? Ooh. So you have whatever you wanted. I mean, so then you go buy a bunch of stuff. And now after that all happens, then what do? What did you want to be when you grew up? Who are some of the people that you thought, gosh, I let that dream go? And then people would say, oh, I think my life's over at 39 or 40. I started my life over again at 62. And I look at people like Colonel Sanders, who started KFC at 63. John Houseman won an Academy Award at 71. Mm. I think about people like Mary Kay Ash and Ray Kroc and a lot of those guys, J.C. Penney. They started their business in their 50s. And then you've got people like Clint Eastwood still making movies at 91. Warren Buffett, the Oracle of Omaha, is 88 or 89 and is just as strong as ever. So it's never too late, but it's a matter of getting what you're passionate about. And then the fourth and final step is you'll probably find your purpose. Mm. And I believe that us human beings are hardwired to find our purpose. And at some point, and sometimes, and again, it took me a long time. And I did all that retail thing I mentioned earlier. It was great. And I managed a lot of people. I learned a ton about people and how to manage people. And I tell people that I teach on management that number one thing is the golden rule. I don't care if you're the big boss and I have 600 employees in a Nordstrom store. I treat those people just as I would want them to treat me. And to show that respect and set a good example is another gigantic thing. But I think it's interesting when you find your purpose, now that I get to do what I do, it doesn't feel like work.
No.
And I'm still trying to find a word or a synonym for the word work that doesn't have a negative connotation. Because you think about it, well, it's good to see a band. I got a lot of work to do. I got to get to work. You know, that's going to take a lot of work. If we have to, and it's like, gee, and I look out on Lake Washington, I'm on my laptop writing a new speech or something. And I think, gosh, I'm so fortunate. But I didn't get that till 62 years old. So sometimes you just got to keep looking until you finally find it. So, but when you do, it's really rewarding.
Jeez, I wish you were. I honestly, David, was hoping you could help me crack the code, because I've literally had this same conversation. I need to find a different word to use than work.
Oh, really? Oh, cool.
Because I'm busy doing something.
Right.
But it's not work. I mean, it's on purpose. It's activities. Yeah. It's creating ripples, collective impact. But I can't quite think of the right word to replace work, to the point where I actually went on a rant the other day. I released it on this podcast as well. The reason they call it work, the actual reason they call it work, is because mm-hmm. it works.
Oh, yeah.
It works. And it only works for one of two things. Especially if you go to work, it's going to work, but it's either going to work for you or it's going to work for someone else.
Yeah.
But it always works. So if you're working, it'll work. The question is, am I doing work that's on purpose with something that's working for me?
Right. Right.
Or am I just working for someone else? And there's nothing wrong with not being a business owner. There's nothing wrong with being an employee. But if you're off purpose, you're basically creating someone else's vision and not your own.
Yeah, that's true.
So I believe work is work, but there's got to be a better synonym to replace work, because when you think work, you think busy, you think clock in, clock out, you think stress, you think difficulty. I know personally, not everything I do is enjoyable. I have to run a business. It's not 100% sunshine and rainbows.
Right.
However, 98% sunshine and rainbows. Like, I love what I get to do. So I wish you'd help me crack the code. Maybe we'll do it today or later, but
we will at some point. You said 98%. The average, the person that surveyed, most recent survey, was 70 to 80% of people hate their jobs, you know, and I just think it's so sad. And Monday's the worst day of the week, and Wednesday's hump day, and thank God it's Friday and all that thing.
You're right.
So it's, but I asked that once on one of my videos, and when it wasn't the podcast, it was a video, I think. And I got some interesting things. They were like, I'm living my passion. I'm taking advantage of my gifts, you know, that I was given, and we're all given gifts. And I have the gift to be able to communicate, but like I said, I can't draw a circle for whatever. And so when you get to take advantage of your gift, it's really cool. But, and I don't want this sort of, it's like you're doing your life's work. I just want one word, because when somebody says, well, I got to go because I have some work to do. What do I replace the word work with? It's just one word, you know, that I've got some of my passions or something. So I don't know, maybe we will one of these days, but it's, I've asked a lot of people and haven't come up with anything that really was suitable.
Yeah. I almost feel like it's almost like a leave me alone statement. Like I'm working is kind of like I'm busy, and I'm busy means I'm focused, and I'm focused means now is not a good time.
Yeah.
But it, all those statements I just made, it kind of have a negative connotation. Mm-hmm. You can be busy. You can be busy, focused, engaged, sucked in, and not be, it's not negative.
Yeah.
Exactly. Dang. So this is, I'm happy we're kind of ranting about this, because my hope is that someone in the comments section, or, you know, take a screenshot, share this with us, provide us an answer.
Yeah.
For the listener, what is your answer?
Right.
How would you redefine what you do? Is it work? Or what's a better word for it? We'll see if we get any answers, David.
Yeah, but, that would be really nice. I would really like that, because it reminds me of another one, Ben, and that's the word time, is that time gets blamed for, I don't have enough time. That takes too much time. There's never enough time. I won't even be able to, and there's just not time left. And I think time has never changed. It's still 60 seconds to a minute, 60 minutes to an hour. And yet poor time just gets ripped on all the time. So, but yeah, I'm going to figure that out too, because it's back to the work thing, because it just has that negative connotation. And it just, it's like, you know, I'm going to go play. You say I'm going to go play, or I'm going to go work. Which one sounds better? You know, and so it's something in that ilk that we'll come up with. Maybe we'll get it in the comments. That would be cool.
We'll put it in the comments. On time, Brad Lee, one of my mentors, he jokes about this. People say they only have 24 hours in a day.
Mm-hmm.
He says he has 2,400 hours in a day. He also has four PhDs. He's a CPA, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
It's because he hires these people.
Oh, yeah.
So we might only have 24 hours on our schedule, but we have the power of community, of collective wisdom, that I might only have 24 hours. But if we use our time intentionally and we get the right team members on board, I don't have to be a PhD. I don't have to be perfect in the... That's why I have this podcast, because I don't know everything about gratitude. I can bring Dave on board to actually speak about gratitude, et cetera, et cetera. So... Dispelling the time myth with the fact that you add more people into your life, you've got endless time.
Yeah. Well, and I think too, another thing that just hit me about gratitude, which is so important, especially at my age at 72, and everybody says this, but it's just true. You cannot believe how fast life has gone by. I mean, something came up the other day about, I know what it was, is because you said you're in Rochester, New York.
That's right.
So who's your football team? The Bills? Or are you the
you know, I'm going to sidestep, but I've been curious about this. You said you're around the corner from the Seahawks.
Right.
My team, so as we're recording this, gang, it's the end of October. It'll come out early December. Maybe times will change. Mm-hmm. My team, favorite team, isn't local. It's the Denver Broncos.
Oh, my goodness.
And I'm wondering what the heck is wrong with Russell Wilson.
Yeah, it's and I know we're talking about gratitude, and there was the reason why I brought that up, because I was going to say that there's times it's kind of challenging and things, but it's just amazing. I watch YouTube. I'm on YouTube a lot, so I watch a lot. I'm telling you, Ben, every other YouTube thing has been a guy, what is wrong with Russell Wilson? And it's just amazing. That's so interesting. You're in Rochester, but the Broncos are your team.
Oh,
but
the Bills are my number two, and Josh Allen, the Bills, they don't have almost any issues right now.
Yeah, they're going to kick ass. Josh Allen just came out of nowhere. That guy is so cool. But it's, nobody knows. And it's interesting. If you look at some of these YouTube things, there's a lot of speculation, but one of the big things that's kind of come out is I really appreciate Pete Carroll. He won a national championship at USC and is a very good coach. He's close to my age. I think he's 70 or 71, something like that, but very, very energetic and so forth. But it looks like he kind of covered up for a lot of things that Russell Wilson has some shortcomings on. And some of the things with his attitude too, once he married the rock star, that really kind of changed a lot. And we don't talk because we're kind of a famous couple now and so forth. And it's really too bad because his humbleness was what was so intriguing, and go Hawks, you know, and always, and he just got us to one Super Bowl and just missed us another one by an ill-fated pass he threw. But even Richard Sherman and Marshawn Lynch came on the other day and said, they can't even talk to him. His manager says, you have to call the manager first. And it was just, it didn't look good. So, but boy, oh boy, that I know they got the new ownership from the Walmart family and that Nathaniel Hackett, but I don't know. They play the Jets in your neck of the woods. They play the Jets this week, but it's going to be, it doesn't look real good. And nobody knows what's happened. I mean, people are really going, this is one of the most shocking changes that they've seen. And so it'll be interesting to see what happens from here on out. So.
Yeah. I mentioned this, that what's great is this will come out in December and knock on wood, by then there'll be like 6-game winning streak.
Yeah,
they just needed to figure the system out. You never know, but I'm on a tangent. You mentioned Seahawks and I'm thinking we picked up Russell and he's letting me down right now, but hey.
Right. And it's interesting. And the reason that I mentioned that Seahawks is because we won the Super Bowl and then we missed it just by play the next Super Bowl. Well, I was at that game and all the games that year, and I was at the Super Bowl parade.
Oh, wow.
And I cannot believe it's 9 years already. Speaking of time, again, that is just a couple years ago, right? No, there's been 8 or 9 Super Bowls since then. And we all experience it regardless of our age. But as you do get older, as somebody said, it's like each year is 1/72nd of your life versus 1/35th of your life or something, but it flies by. And that's why I brought it up, is because it just goes by so fast. And so a lot of the things I write in my gratitude journal are just things that I'm so present. And that's another thing we didn't talk about, but it's so important. It makes you so present and being aware of right now. I'm talking to Ben. I'm not daydreaming about, I can see Seahawk headquarters over there about, oh, I wonder if they're practicing, whatever. You're so present. And I was on a podcast, and the gentleman says, what do you think the two most important days of your life? And I said, well, that's pretty easy for me. It's today and tomorrow. And I
yes.
said, because yesterday's gone and today is all I have. And then tomorrow was Friday and so forth. And he goes, well, that's interesting. He says, that's not what I feel. And I said, well, what do you feel? And he says, I think the two most important days of your life are the day you were born and the day you find out why. And I just stopped in my tracks and went, wow, I know the day I was born. And about 9 or 10 years ago, I really kind of found out why when I became the gratitude guy and switched and quit Lowe's, walked away from a big salary and all that. And I didn't even mention it at the time, but those first 2 or 3 years as I started out, I'm playing at all those churches and rotaries and things like this. I was also working at the Seahawk Pro Shop. I was also driving Uber. I was also driving Postmates and taking around Kentucky Fried Chicken food to people and dropping off. And isn't that the guy used to be the store manager at Nordstrom that just dropped off our chicken? You know, it's like, and so, but you know what? It doesn't matter. You got to do what you got to do. And now I'm to the point where 8, 9, 10 years into it, it's just, I couldn't be happier. But, and you know this from being an entrepreneur too, Ben. I mean, there's days where I look at people, they get the fat check every other Friday or whatever they get, and it looks appealing. But boy, at least for me, and I think I can tell this with you, is there's just something about being your own person, which is hard to replicate. It just is, you run the show, and it's just, there's a lot to be said for that.
You know why they take your fingerprint when you get in trouble? Because it's impossible to replicate.
Yeah, that's true. That's right.
We're all unique. We are unique. We have our own gifts. We're all different.
And that's another thing back to being an entrepreneur, solopreneur too. Everything to me circles back to gratitude. So if you're having a great day and everything's fantastic, that's fantastic. But if you're not, and maybe you didn't get that client that you thought you were going to get, or, you know, again, you were working in that company where you used to get the check every other Friday, writing in that gratitude journal every day brings you back to focusing on all the blessings that you have. And it's so important. And even though I say it gets old, it's the glass half full and versus half empty, but it just brings you back into that thing. I have so much to be thankful for. And sometimes I was on the path yesterday and saw a couple of people in a wheelchair, And just as I'm walking along, listening to the podcast, as I said, but, and I just think, David, you're not in a wheelchair. I'm so fortunate. And just, and we lose track of that. And the whole gratitude mindset, gratitude practice, gratitude mindset, gratitude journal, all helps you focus on everything you have. And it's pretty tough to be, like we said, double negative. It's pretty tough to be down when you're focusing on all your blessings.
Love it. I like to close out with the rapid fire round. These are short, sweet, kind of all over the place questions just to get to know David a little bit better.
Absolutely.
I often start with coffee or tea?
Coffee.
Cats or dogs?
Dogs.
Are you a morning person?
Morning person.
Okay, let's do some juicier ones. Okay, so you mentioned some of the most noteworthy moments of your life. I want to kind of flip it a little bit. What are the proudest moments of your life?
Oh, thank you. Yeah, the proudest moments would be seeing both my sons graduate from college. When you really, especially Connor, Connor was four when Dana, my wife, passed away, and he had a difficult time. And so there was a time when they told me they didn't think he was very smart. So I wasn't even sure he was going to make it through high school. But not only did he make it through high school and recovered from a lot of negativity, but went to college. And so both with he graduated then, and then that was San Diego State. And then Connor graduated, Kyle graduated from the University of Washington where I did. So those are two of my most proud moments for sure.
We'll do another interesting one. I think this is fun. I'm curious what you'll say. So nonfiction or fiction, what like noteworthy character, whether it's from a book, a movie, a sports team, or a public figure, what noteworthy character are you most like or is most like you? Who do you identify with?
I was thinking who I identify. I know it's some that I think are really, really cool, but
you can go that way too, to be honest. I haven't asked that question because it's a stumper, but I was so curious as to what you'd say.
Yeah. And I think of who I was most like, this goes back to a movie this isn't a movie actually, but it was in the 1960s called Bullet with Steve McQueen.
Okay.
And he was a detective in San Francisco. And I just loved his ability to solve this crime. And it's sort of like also Clint Eastwood in Dirty Harry, the same thing. He just never gave up. And so I relate so well to people that just don't give up, because I just have gotten tremendous success. I guess I should knock on wood, by not giving up. Mm-hmm. And a more recent example, just as an illustration, is I did this 2-hour workshop for Boeing last week. It was a very busy week. But if I went back and told you how I got that talk, I bet you I went through 15 people and another 15 people that never returned my calls, emails, calls, phone calls, voicemails, texts, but I never gave up. And then here I was. And then I got tremendous reviews. We're going to use you every year now and maybe sooner from Boeing. But I never gave up. And so I think that concept, the Steve McQueen, the Clint Eastwood, anybody that just is dogged, or another one, was Columbo. Mm-hmm. When Peter Falk played Columbo, just one more thing. I just have one more question right at the end of the thing. I'm dating myself a bit, but I just love the idea about not giving up. Just under any circumstances, you just don't give up.
I just have one more question for you.
Mm-hmm.
So you mentioned how 60 seconds on a device. Let's walk through an exercise. So I want people to open what's great is everybody's listening on a platform of some kind, usually a phone or a computer. First off, this is a side note. How do they follow you? Because we're going to give two call to actions. One, how do they follow you and learn more? Where should I go first?
Excellent. Thank you. My website is thatgratitudeguy.com. So you can contact me there. I'm always looking and appreciative of referrals for speaking events, conventions, associations, corporate events, annual meetings, that kind of thing, workshop. You can get that through my gratitude guy, thatgratitudeguy.com website. You can get my books there too. The other one that a lot of people like is on YouTube. I love people that subscribe. It's under David George Brook. You just type in those three names, those three words, and it'll go right to my channel, and you hit subscribe and you'll see all those videos. And there's so many different videos for the different tastes of people that like what they're looking for in gratitude. And actually, I'll toss in a third one. If you'd like, every Monday morning, I send out the Monday Morning Minute. It's a 60-second video. And then on Friday, which will go out now tomorrow, is the Friday Focus on Gratitude. But that people really like that video. And if you'd like to get that every Monday morning, about 6 a.m, you go to your text and you text to the number 228228. That's 5 digits, 228228. That's the number. And then in the message box, you type in gratitude guy, all one word, and hit send. And it'll come back to you and say welcome and ask for your email, and you're on the list. And so really a lot of people watch that every Monday and get the message on Friday. So those are three pretty quick ways. And then you can get the gratitude journal too on Amazon, that gratitude guy's daily gratitude journal as well.
And to make life easy, it's all in the show notes. It's in the description there for you. So again, everyone's on a phone or a laptop. Give us an exercise where we can use this phone in front of us. I'm going to leave it to you. So I have a phone. Give me a gratitude exercise I can do on my phone.
I'll give you a great one. And that is that you can do it live right now, or you can do it later. And that is pick up your phone. I call this the four T's. You either text, tell, telephone, or tweet. Most people text. Text somebody in your life to tell them how grateful you are to have them in your life. And you have to use the word grateful. That's part of the exercise. And people, I do that at the end of my talks, and it's so cool to watch everybody texting and then getting these smiles on their face when they see the text that comes back.
Right.
And I tell people it's kind of funny, because I'll be at my book table afterwards and people want to show me their text. So they come up and they go, look at my text, you know, like this. And they text somebody to tell them how grateful they were, and they get the text back. I'm grateful for you too. What do you want? Like, oh man, that's kind of hard. Another one showed it and it said, are you sure you sent this to the right person?
Wow. I love it.
And then a sign of our times, which I don't know if it's funny or happy or sad, but somebody showed me their text and it said, are you at the hotel? Is there an active shooter?
Wow.
Thinking it was like the text for that too. So it's, but that's the exercise I would have everybody do right now, or do it later today. But don't forget, can you ever be too grateful for somebody? Can you ever send flowers too many times? You know, can you ever say thank you to Ben for having me on the podcast too many times? And the last thing I'll tell you is I was doing a performing arts center where the people's live at a big angle. And one of the T's is telephone. So the one gal is calling somebody and I can hear her from the podium. And she's about 10 or 15 feet away from me on the stage. And I hear her and she goes, honey, and she's calling, you know, honey, I'm very grateful for you too. And I just love you so much. I'm assuming it's her husband. And she goes, I just want to let you know how grateful I am for you. And I don't know. Some speaker just told me to call you and tell you. And I went, no, don't say that. Don't put it on me. You were just thinking to call him and tell him how grateful you were. So that's a fun one, because people don't expect it. And you get some great answers from that.
Guys, go try it. Let us know in the description.
Yes, please.
You can always take a screenshot, tag us, type in the description, whatever social media post you found this. Let us know. Really, I'm grateful that I had you here today, David. And
likewise.
Appreciate we went over our scheduled time, and I'm happy we did, because tremendous value in this episode, and we'll do it again in the near future.
I would love that. I would love it. That's fantastic. Thank you so much, Ben. This has been absolutely fantastic.
Thanks again for listening to Learn, Speak, Teach, powered by Balbert Marketing, LLC. You need to go subscribe if you haven't yet. This show is completely free. If you gain value from the episode, personally share with a friend and explain your favorite part. Leave us a review on Apple, Google Podcasts, or anywhere you listen to the show. All right. Thanks once more for listening to LST. I am so grateful. Talk to you soon.